Evening.
It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight and thankful for this another opportunity that the Lord has afforded to us. And we appreciate the rain, like Brother Casey said. I know some may not have thought so when they were trying to get in the church house, but we're glad that you're here. And we appreciate each and every one for coming out to be with us tonight. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God that we've been allowed to feel here each and every night, and I can feel His presence again tonight, and that's good news. That's good for those that are lost. That's good for us that are saved, because the Scripture says, if we're to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so I hope tonight that if you're a child of God, that that's why you have come tonight, is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want to encourage you to listen as the Word of God is preached, but listen to the still small voice of God as He would speak to your heart tonight. And if He is dealing with you and lets you know that you're lost and you need to come up here and pray, you just come on and pray and seek the Lord, and we encourage you. I've been looking forward to getting back here tonight ever since we left last night, and prayerful, and I really appreciate the Lord using Brother Casey as He did last night, and powerful message to the lost and a warning to us to be about God's business, and I appreciate it so much. But you pray for me tonight that we'll try our best to honor the Lord and to preach what He's placed on our heart. If you would like to follow along, we're going to begin reading in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17 is where we're going to take our text from tonight. Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with the pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I was reading Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 1 through 10 for our reading lesson tonight, with the mistakes we may have made. And the thought that's on our heart tonight is about a heart condition. About a heart condition. Now, Jeremiah was prophesying and letting the children of Israel know about their sins. He first off says how great their sins had been and how that they were just engraved with a pen of iron and the point of a diamond. We know that what he's saying there is that they were very evident, and they were engraved and written in stone, you might say. It was so plain of their sins. And he goes on down to explain how that God would carry them away captive to a place that they weren't be desiring of, talking of Babylon. And then he goes on to say about how that man needs not trust in other man, but needs to trust in the Lord. Tonight, if you're here, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you need to put your trust in God. You need to put all that you have, everything that you believe, all that you have in this life, you need to put it in the hands of God because He owns it all anyways. You need to trust in Him. Now, the thought that's on our heart tonight is about the heart and how that this world and many people, and maybe even in our midst tonight, have a heart condition. The Scripture tells us, and Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful. That word deceitful, you know, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means full of deceit, trickish, or fraudulent. Also means cheating. There's not anybody like that in here, is there? Well, I hate to tell you, that's the way that many people's hearts are. They're deceitful. Some of which can make it out to be that there's something that they're really not. But God knows your heart tonight. You see, He knows the darkest, deepest secrets of your life. I don't. I'm not asking to, but I don't want you to know that God does. He knows everything about you. He knows what's been in your heart and your hopes and your dreams and your desires. He knows. And even though maybe you've kept them quiet and you've kept them just enclosed inside of you, God knows your heart tonight. He says the heart is deceitful, as in it could be fraudulent, it could be trickish or cheating, and it's desperately wicked. That means it could be weak, it could be sick, it could be frail, and you know what else it can mean? To be incurable is what that means. Desperately wicked could be actually incurable and be very, very sick. I don't know anybody's heart that's here tonight, but I want you to know if you're lost, your heart is sick tonight. And it has an incurable disease, you might say. Now, wait for it till I get on to our thought here tonight. I want you to know, even in this world, did you know what the leading cause of death is? Not just in America, although it is in America, but it's in all throughout the world, is heart disease. It is, according to statistics, my understanding, as we've researched that, and it's a great problem. It's affecting everyone. I'm sure you know someone. As a matter of fact, we know that even Brother Moran is getting his heart worked on tomorrow. And we need to pray for him that God would continue to help him, to strengthen him. But I want you to know that this heart problem that's killing America, that's killing the world, it's a physical heart problem. And if you study it out, it's a disease that, you know, it's really, my understanding, it's not really curable. Now, they can treat it. They can try to help to do surgeries, and they can give you certain medicines and exercise to try to strengthen your heart. But at the end of the day, it's most likely incurable. Now, I'm not a doctor. We've got a doctor here that could explain this a whole lot better than I could. But I can tell you this. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've got an incurable disease that you need someone that can take care of what you have. And why would I say that it's incurable? Because I want you to know tonight that if you're lost and separated from God, your heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. But the Scripture says, who can know it? That means who can understand, who can know the deepest, darkest depths of my heart? God can. And not only can He, but He does. He searches the heart. He tries the reins. That the heart there, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, the heart is the seat of affections and passions, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, and pleasure. God tries, or He searches, and He tests your heart to see of where that it's at tonight. And many of even God's people, a lot of times, our heart is not in the right place. I hope and pray tonight that God would help us to realize where our hearts need to be fixed on tonight. The reins, He said, I try the reins. I search the heart. The reins are the inward parts, or the heart, or the seat of affections and passions. Tonight, my desire is that God would search our hearts tonight. If you're lost, I pray that God is searching your heart and He's searching to see. And you say, well, I thought you said that this is an incurable disease, and the disease that's in the hearts of so many people in this world is not a physical heart disease, it's a spiritual heart disease, and that disease is sin, and it's destroying people's lives, destroying them. Tonight, I want to ask you where your heart is at. Even God's people, sometimes, as we made mention, our hearts are not in the right place. In Matthew 6 and 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tonight, what do you treasure? What do you desire above everything else? It's not a complicated question, but it's the truth tonight. Because if you treasure someone or something above God, it has become your idol. And it has become the seed of affections of your life. You have been consumed by that. You have wrapped your mind around that. You have wrapped your heart around that. It has become your greatest treasure, and you have desired it. I want you to know you need to let go of the things of this world, and you need to treasure heavenly things. And the greatest thing you can treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is greater than anything or anyone or anything in this world has to offer. He is the best. And when you desire Him above everything else, God will help your heart to want Him. He'll help you tonight. So again, is your heart in the right place? Many of the Pharisees, and here in the Scriptures we can find in Matthew chapter 15 of the Pharisees here and the scribes in the 15th chapter. He said, then came Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh or near unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We as God's people can be guilty of that many times. We can find ourselves going to the house of God, singing the praises of God, going through the motions of what would look to be a very religious and a great person that is worshiping God. Folks, God knows our heart tonight. He knows whether or not it's just emotion or whether we're going through these things to please man. He knows our heart tonight. So we might as well give Him the truth. We might as well give Him what we really are. He said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. He was debating with them and putting them in their place because they were so consumed by their traditions that they had that they weren't focused on the seed of the affections of their heart. They had their traditions and their rituals, and that was their focus, and it took their hearts and minds off of God. Folks, let us never get so caught up in traditions that it hinders from the true heart of worship to uplift the name of Jesus. Folks, there are way more important things, and I'm not saying we need to just wash off every tradition that's been handed down, but do not allow our man-made traditions to hinder our worship of God. We must have a heart to worship. He says, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my Father, Heavenly Father, hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, what you talk about, what your focus is on. You know, it's a shame that even God's people, you know, they talk about worldly things and things that we ought not talk about a lot of times. You know why that is? Because it's what your heart has been fixed upon. That's not pleasant to think about, is it? But folks, it's the truth. Jesus said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. I told you how our hearts are evil. They're deceitful. They're desperately wicked. But God can know those hearts. He said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but not to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Listen, God knows our hearts. He knew the hearts of people in Noah's day. Did you know that? The heart of man was on evil continually. That's where his heart was fixed upon. And I have to feel like God doesn't see a whole lot different now today. A lot of people's hearts are fixed upon evil things. Things. And you might say, well, my heart's right where it needs to be. You need to focus on those people over there or that individual over there. Folks, it needs to get down to a personal level with us. It needs to come right down to my house where I'm at. Luke Spurgeon, where my heart is. I don't know about you, but I want my heart to be right with God. I want to be in the center of His will. I want to, when He asks of me where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When He searches my life, I want my treasure to be pleasing to God. I want Him to be pleased with it. Listen, this is a personal thing. Luke in the 18th chapter and the 9th verse, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, and don't be this man. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
I want you to look at these two individuals tonight, and I want you to see where was their heart. Where was their heart at? I see one individual that his focus was only on how good he thought that he was. He thought of himself to be something. Folks, there's not a one of us that is anything that deserving of any goodness that God has bestowed upon us. Our sinful ways have just led us astray. As the prophet Isaiah made mention of, we have all gone astray. And the Lord has taken our iniquities and laid them upon His own dear Son. Every one of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Listen, we're no better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by God's grace if you've been saved. Two different individuals, two different hearts. You know what that publican was? He humbled his heart. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you're willing to humble yourself down, God wants to work on your heart. I pray that God would not just work on lost people's hearts. I pray that God would work on our hearts too. I pray that we would be receptive to the Word of God. You know, when Jeremiah was talking to the children of Israel, there's no doubt that there was a remnant of people that truly knew the Lord. And you know what God wanted? He wanted their hearts to get right with Him. Folks, we have a great desire and we have a need to draw closer to the Lord, but our hearts are way far away where they need to be. I pray that God would help us. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you have this heart condition, you know, a lot of people, they think they have heart conditions and they go get tests and everything seems to be okay. But most of the time, they can tell that something's wrong. Whether it be an irregular heartbeat, whether it be something that they feel weak, or they feel something that is bothering them, they can tell that there is an issue there, can't they? Sinner friend, if you're here tonight and you're lost, God can let you know that there's something wrong with your heart. He can reveal that to you, and how He does that is by the power of His Holy Spirit. As He speaks to your heart, He lets you know that something is missing. And I remember when God convicted me of my sins, I could feel that heart a-pounding and that trouble that was swelling up inside of me. I knew that my heart was a sinful, a desperate, a wicked place is where it was. It was just nasty. It was. But you know what? God was willing to work on me. He was willing to work on me. Be willing to allow God to do a work in your life. If you're lost, you've got the best physician that you could ever have, and it's the Lord. He knows exactly what you need. He knows the diagnosis that you have. You know, I'm thankful for our God-given ability of doctors to be able to help us, to diagnose us, to be able to treat us. I want you to know that God can treat your sinner's disease. He can treat it tonight. And it's not going to be just something that'll help ease the pain or something that'll relieve you for a little while. I'm telling you, He can cure you. And He does it through the blood of His own dear Son. Make you cured. He does that. There'll be something that'll take place in your heart. Jeremiah chapter 31. And verse 31 says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. And I believe he's talking about the spiritual house of Israel, not just the physical house of Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel, those that know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, that have experienced his grace, that have that placed inside their heart. Listen, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part. Where's that? In the seat of affection. The inward parts. And write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me. You don't want to know how you know that you're saved? You know God. Not only do you know God, He knows you. There's a relationship. Now, a lot of people want to get it reversed and they want to say, oh, well, I started a relationship with God. God initiates this relationship. He initiates it first by letting you know that you have a heart condition that He alone can fix. And when He has made a desire to fix your heart condition, when you have this condition, what would you do? You would go to whatever doctor, whatever hospital, whatever place you needed to get fixed, to be able to live, wouldn't you? Folks, that's the way it is if you're lost. You need to go to whatever ends it takes to find the great physician. And His name is Jesus. He is able, quicker than a split second, to heal your incurable heart condition. It's incurable because with man, it's impossible. The world says, do these good works. They say, enter into the waters of baptism. Do this or do that. It's not something that we do. It's what He has done. Jesus made a way for us to be saved. He says, I will write my laws in their inward parts. I will write my laws on their hearts. You know, another reason why I know that I'm saved is because God guides my life. He leads me. I need to study the Word of God, and it's important to study the Word of God. But when God saves you, there is a guiding spirit in your heart that will lead you into all truth. What the Scripture says. He says, they'll know the Lord. From the least even to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. Your hearts, our hearts, they're born into sin. We are sinners. They're deceitful. They're desperately wicked. And although you have offended God and you have gone against Him and your heart is wicked, God will take His Son's blood and He'll forgive you of everything you've done. If you're willing to ask and you're willing to seek for it with all your heart. Not only will He forgive it, He will remember your sin no more. Scripture says He'll cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Tonight, what's the condition of your heart? Is your heart broken? Does it need to be fixed? I feel like Brother Casey did last night. I want to make this as simple as possible for anybody and everybody to understand, because it doesn't need to be complicated. When something is broken, it needs to be fixed. And if your heart is broken tonight, if you feel the trouble and the pain and the the sorrow on the inside of your heart, knowing that something is missing, knowing that there's an incurable disease, that if you leave it unattended, you'll die in your sins. If God has revealed that to you, your heart is broken. What does that mean? Well, in the 34th division of Psalms, if your heart is broken, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Psalms 34 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart. Thank you, Lord. Saved people, it's okay for our hearts to be broken sometimes. It's okay. I'm not saying that you'll have to get saved again, but sometime God needs to break us to where we'll draw closer to Him as well. But if you're lost tonight, you have a broken heart that you can't fix. Are you a doctor that can heal that broken heart? Do you think I have the ability to search into your innermost being and to touch that heart and to make it whole? No man has that ability. Only God. Only God can look at a broken heart. He says, the Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know what that contrite means? It means crushed. My heart tonight is my desire is that lost people would not only be broken, but they would be crushed before God. Their hearts would be just so broken. And I want you to know, a heart that is broken, think about a pot or a bowl and how it becomes broken. It's broken in a million pieces, and there's pieces everywhere, and there's nobody that has the ability to put that back together in the right way. God can. God can take your brokenness of your life that you have, it seems it's in shambles. Maybe you've been living in sin. You've lived in struggle all your life. God can take your broken state and He can make it better than it's ever been. And that's what He does when He saves us. You know what He does? He fixes it. Just as Brother Casey made mention, I don't remember what night it was, but the psalmist David said this, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." You know who fixed my heart? God did. I had a broken, sinful, deceitful, desperately wicked heart, and God fixed it. I was incurable by man's standards, but God saw a way to cure me through the blood of His own Son. You know, God wants to cure you. I told you about how heart disease, what little bit I've studied, and if I'm wrong, I hope Dr. Mike will clarify some things, but what little bit I've tried to study, my understanding is it's not necessarily curable. It can get a little better, and there can be some help, but it can't be completely cured. But you know what I have seen? I've met individuals that their heart was past being fixed, and they had to get what was called a heart transplant, where they had to actually go underneath surgery. And their lives were there in the doctor's hands, and they cut them open, and they took out their old heart that wouldn't work anymore, and they gave them a new one. Did you know that's how God fixes us? That's how He fixes us. You see, the old heart that you have that's full of sin, it can't do any good. It's a sinful, wretched, desperately wicked heart. It was born into it. Your desires, your treasures, they're worldly, they're sinful, or they're foolish. But you know what God can do? He can take that sinful heart out. He doesn't do it physically. He does it spiritually. Scripture tells us in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter and the 16th verse, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man,
When the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way, by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. They were sinners, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them, and when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, "These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of His land." These sinful people, they just continued to sin. They were living in that sin. Their hearts were so far away from God. But you know what the Lord did? "But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went." What is he saying? They, when God carried them away because of their sins and the way that they were living, they didn't repent and turn back to God. You know what they did? They profaned the name of God. Do you know what God did? He still sought to cure them. No matter how bad you've been living in sin, how far away you've run, God still wants to cure you. He still wants to save you. Even as God's children, when we, as disobedient children, we run away from God and we don't serve Him like we should, and we serve ourselves with the lust of this flesh, you know what God does? He wants to help us come back. That's the kind of God I serve. A loving and merciful God that wants to save lost sinners, but there is only a short window of opportunity for people to repent and be saved. You have this opportunity today. He said, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." I believe it's a beautiful picture. You see, the children of Israel, they knew about these sacrifices. They understood what He was talking about, that clean water that would be purified upon them. There was a sacrifice in the 19th chapter of Numbers, and it was a sacrifice of a red heifer that was given, and it was set aside, its ashes were, for the waters of purification. And you know what that red heifer represented? It was taken out outside of the camp, and they took that and they sacrificed it. And you know what it was a picture of? A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all a picture of Jesus, but it was sacrificed, and that ashes were set aside as waters of purification to purify those people. You know what? Baptismal waters have never saved anybody. But I can tell you what have saved people: the living water that comes from Jesus Christ. The living water that if a person drinks, he'll never thirst again, as He told the woman at the well. Those waters of purification are not physical waters. It's spiritual, that God, He speaks peace to your heart and gives you a drink of everlasting water, so much so that it's like a well that springs up inside of you in the everlasting life. And when you've taken a drink of that, you'll know you've been made clean. Listen, He says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Now, why would He call their heart stony? Why? Why would He call their heart stony? You know why? Because it was hard. Because it was hardened.
Why was it hardened? The Hebrew letter reminds us of what God told them. He says, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, when they proved me all these years. Sinner friend, if you're here tonight and you're lost, and your heart has been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, and you've resisted, and you pushed away, and you've rejected God, don't harden it anymore. Let God take that stony, sinful heart out that has nothing but sin, and let Him get it out of your way, and surrender your life to Him, and He'll give you a heart of love, as the old song says. A heart that you can feel. People say this isn't a feeling way. If it wasn't a feeling way, I wouldn't be here. It's something you can feel. And that's what He meant by taking a stony heart out that's so hard-hardened out of sin and giving you a heart of flesh. When you've been born again, you will feel it. There'll be a change. It won't be physically. Yes, it does affect our emotions, but it's a spiritual change, and it'll take place in your heart. It'll be something that only you know about. You know why? Because the seed of your affections, your desires, your hopes, your dreams, everything you have will be changed. You know what it'll be focused on? God. If you've truly been born again, you have a heart that beats for God. A heart that wants to please God. You may get away. You may sin. You may fail the Lord. But at the end of the day, there is still a heart inside of you that loves your Creator, that wants to serve God. I'm so thankful. When God saved me, He put a new heart in me. As those people, I have met individuals. There's one in particular. He's in Carthage, Tennessee. And he is very cautious about getting close to people and near people because they warned him that he could something could give him sickness and it could affect that heart and he could die very quickly. But I want you to know, when you get this new heart that God gives you, there's some perks to that new heart. Not only do you feel different, not only is there something on the inside that you your heart beats for God and you love the Lord and He's put His Spirit within you, there's everlasting life that comes with it. Eternal life, you don't have to wait and get that when you get to heaven. I've got it right now. I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and my soul will live on forever and ever. Because God gave me a new heart. What you need to do is you need to come to the great physician, which is Jesus. You need to rend your heart, not your garments, as Joel said, I believe it was, as he's basically saying, open your heart to God. Just show Him what you are. Be honest with Him. He already knows it anyways. Get real with Him. Get down to the nitty-gritty of who you are and just be real with God. Tell Him what you have. You know, if you go to a doctor and they're trying to help you, there's many people that might lie about a history of what their illnesses they have or whether or not they have issues. Don't lie to God. Just get real with Him. He can't help you until you're honest with Him. But when you get honest with Him, when you get serious with Him, when you show Him what kind of deceitful, sinful heart that you have, He'll say, you're a candidate for transplant. This one here. And you know what? The blood matches. And there's an availability for you to have this transplant. I've got a real good friend named Brother Andy Knight. And God, through a miraculous turn of events, allowed him to have a kidney. Of the perfect match, and God has spared his life. I want you to know there's a perfect match for you tonight, sinner friend. And Jesus died for your sins and to give you a new heart and to give you that heart of flesh that you can be born again, all new. Many of those people and have had those transplants, I like seeing them. I like witnessing them. Because you know what? Most of them appreciate life a whole lot better than we do. They appreciate what they have because it's like God has given them another opportunity to live. That's what God will do for you when He saves your soul. He'll give you another opportunity to live for Him. And what a privilege. What a privilege to live for the Lord. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. When you have truly been born again, you know what you'll have? You'll have the shepherd to lead you and guide your life. You will. The good shepherd. I'm going to try to close if the Lord will be about through with us. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus, He is the door of salvation. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." If you've been saved, God will let you know that you're in the shepherd's care. He'll let you know that. You know how He does that? He'll lead and guide and direct your life. If God impresses an individual to testify of thanking God for saving their soul, who do you think led you to do that? I don't believe it was Satan. I don't believe it was something else. Now, some people do things to be seen of men, and the Scripture says they have their reward. But if you are sincerely led by God, some people are led and knocked on their heart to unite with the Lord's church. Who do you think is leading you to do that? If you're truly born again, you feel that direction, that's between you and God, but God is the one that leads. Satan, he distracts. He confuses. He messes up people's minds. God leads. He directs. And you know where His direction goes? It goes in the way that He sees fit, and it's the right way every time. Every time. "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Listen, I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but if you'll come to the Lord just as you are, with that broken heart, the Good Shepherd can let you know. He can make it real to you tonight. And if your heart is broken and it needs to be fixed, let God fix it. Quit trying to fix it yourself. You know what kind of mess that makes. Look to the Lord. Let Him fix your heart in a way that only He can. If you're broken tonight, come to the great physician. I told you that this was kind of an incurable disease. They can do a lot of things to try to help it. It's killing more people in the world than anything else. People are dying and going to hell. Seems like more than anything else, because their hearts are not fixed. Their hearts are not right with God. They're not believing in the only begotten Son of God. That's why people are going to hell, because of unbelief. If you're here tonight, believe in the Lord Jesus. that can save your soul. God bless you is our prayer. Let's have a song. Let God do the work that only He can do. God's people, if our hearts are not right, if they're not in the right place, let's get our hearts right with God. I'm not saying to get saved again. You only get saved one time. Only happens one time. That's good enough. But our hearts need to be in the right place where we can serve the Lord. God bless you. Go ahead, Brother Mike, if you've got a song.
Paul's book, 183. Let's all stand and sing about what Jesus can do.